You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angels. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked on Angels.
What up, Angel fans? My name is Lucas Sardo, your host of Locked On Angels today. I'm the resident social cynic, and I'd like to welcome you to your daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We are back on this beautiful Monday to get you ready for the week ahead of Angels baseball. Angels are going out on the road. The season's kind of starting to wind down. You know, games aren't meaning very much, but hey, we're still seeing some really great performances out of guys that will ultimately have a future with this ball club moving forward. We had a really great interview with Stu Matthews from Halos Heaven, as we have been doing every Monday, coming up in a minute. And we were talking about guys like, you know, Ty Buttre, or Buttre, and Taylor Cole, who have really shown us something out of the bullpen. And I'm honestly starting to get to the point, guys. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking maybe this offseason we don't really need to even go out and look for much bullpen help. Maybe we go get an arm. I couldn't see us going and getting two, but we have a ton of great pieces out there in that bullpen, and we kind of dive into that with Stu coming up in a minute. We also talk about last week the Angels announcing that Mike Socha bobblehead and what that might mean for the future of the manager, and dare I say it, me having to find a new nickname on this podcast. But we're going to head over to that right now. But first, you know, we all love a night out. You know, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on our favorite team. You know, with Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, the show, or the sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section or row you want to do to make things even better. Vivid Seats is giving our great listeners of Locked On a chance for orders of over $200 or more to save $20 off of that purchase. Go to the App Store, go to Google Play, download Vivid Seats, use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off your orders of $200 or more. Every purchase is backed 100% buyer guaranteed, from the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater or more. Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app, enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off your orders of $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime, and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. Gotta love it. Coming up next, our Stu Matthews interview. Welcome back, Angel fans. We would like to welcome back onto the show Stu Matthews, as we've been doing every Sunday. Stu's a columnist for Halos Heaven. Stu, how you doing today?
Hey, Lucas, I'm great. Morning. Nice to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So today we're going to talk about fun little thing the Angels did last week. They announced a promotional giveaway on Fan Appreciation Day, and that will be a Mike Socha bobblehead. Stu, what do you think about that?
Well, I couldn't stop laughing. Obviously, you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't stop laughing when it came out because it's so doggone clever. But I got a quick question for you. I mean,
yeah,
if this really is like what I think it is, it's a clear signal that Socha is going to walk away at the end of the year. He's got 12 more games to manage. Mm-hmm. What will you call yourself? You can't be the Socha cynic anymore. You got to get creative.
I know. And you know, it was hard even coming up with the Socha cynic nickname, but I've been thinking about that also. So we might need some help from the fans on what to call me. Well, I mean, they might call me something else, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm definitely, the wheels are turning.
Oh, no. Never mind.
But I thought it was really interesting that they're going to put on Fan Appreciation Day. So obviously, you know, I think that's Saturday of that homestand. It's not actually Sunday. It's not their last home game. But
That's right.
It's interesting because I think this might be – I mean, they haven't had a social bobblehead giveaway since 2008, I believe. And, I mean, that's got to – this has got to be his goodbye present, right, is a bobblehead for himself.
Yeah, I mean the way I kind of look at it is it's really a kind of a clever two-way thing that goes, well, actually multi-way thing. It's almost like a go-away thing from him to the fans. It's mm-hmm. it's almost like the Angels giving him a go-away gift. That's kind of the way I look at it. Who knows for sure, but it sure looks that way to me. I mean, we've been expecting this. He's hasn't been under contract, and we've been expecting this for a long time, in fact years, but I think the writing's on the wall with this one. You know, it's just the yeah, I mean, the giveaway is a dead giveaway, let's put it that way.
Exactly. Yeah, I want somebody to ask him about it and him to say, oh yeah, no, the bobblehead giveaway and me leaving is poppycock. I want him to do it again.
That's a poppycock.
another question I want to ask about the bobblehead though is, why do you think there's no pitcher on the lineup card?
Well, that's one of the funniest things about it,
right?
I think, you know, yeah, I mean, well, obviously, you know, like for the last few years, all their arms fall off, you know, all the real pitchers' arms fall off. So, what, you know, why even put one in? Because you don't know who it's going to be from day to day, do you?
Yeah. So I was thinking, like, would the Angels do that? Because that's really funny if they were like, yeah, you know, we haven't had a pitch. All the pitchers are falling off. And because that's kind of what I was thinking, too. And if that's what it was, I'd love it. I would absolutely love it. I'll buy a ticket to the game. I'll get the bobblehead. But I really want to know. So if you had to put a pitcher on that lineup card, who are you putting from the Socia era?
Oh, man. He was talking about the other day as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be anybody. Probably Weaver, Jared Weaver, you know, yeah. From his days, he was just he was the staple of the Socia teams, really,
yeah.
Or Percy maybe, or somebody like that. But I don't know, you know, I pretty much got some real good names on there. And the Angels organization are clever enough to leave that pitcher spot off.
I know.
And also leave Albert Pujols in the four hole.
Oh,
you know?
I mean, day in and day out. That's what we're getting is Albert Pujols
for as long as you keep that bobblehead as well. It's go grab me one when you're at the game.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. All right, let's transition over to our studs and duds segment as we always do. So I got two studs, I got two duds for this week. My first stud, I'm going to go with Taylor Cole. He had a great week on the mound coming out of the bullpen. 6 innings over the entire week, 1 hit allowed and 6 strikeouts. I mean, don't look now, but this guy has been really good for this team. His whip under 1, 0.88 whip. His ERA is below 3, I believe. It's awesome, even with his short stint up with the team, only throwing 30 innings. But he's been effective, I think. And I think it brings back the idea that moving forward, our bullpen has some great arms out there and some awesome pieces to use moving into next year.
I agree, Lucas. You know, Cole was on my short list, and I thought he had a great week too. But he got a win in relief. You know, pitched some really solid innings there last week.
Yeah.
You want me to go with my first?
Yeah.
Stud then I think I'll steal one of yours because I know you'll use them otherwise.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Do it.
It's just going to force you to improvise.
Yeah, probably. It's okay though.
Well, I'm going to take good old Ty Buttrae.
I love it. I love it. He has to be a staple. He has to be a stud every single week.
Well, he better, because I think he's going to be a closer moving forward. If the next manager isn't looking at the numbers or
right.
the stuff. I mean, that guy just was dominant during the week. His last 2 innings pitched, he's had 5 strikeouts.
Yeah.
And did you see Sunday's game?
He struck out the side.
They were all swinging a miss against the Mariners, and this is the heart of their order. And you know, and his out pitch on all those strikeouts, he got who was it? Okay, first of all, it was Healy. That was a breaking ball.
Yep.
Yeah,
swung table over. Dropped out. Yeah, loved it.
Yeah, that's it. Then Kyle Seager comes up. He just waves at a sick changeup,
and then
Buttrey goes with 97 mile an hour heat, and just Vogelbach just had no chance. Then I'm like, sit down. And that was really impressive.
Yeah, I loved it. And the other thing I saw, like, during Sunday's game out of him is he had the swag of a closer. Like, after he got that first strikeout, he's kind of, like, strutting around the mound. Like, yep, I'm that dude. Fix the belt a little bit. Give me the ball. Let's hop back on here. Let's giddy up and go. Like, I was loving it. I saw the future in that bullpen out of Ty Buttrey this weekend. Loved it.
Absolutely. You know, and you had it really before I did. I mean, you've been really propping him up for a while, but it's obvious that he was the piece that Billy Epler wanted back in Kinsler trade. And he's a winner. That's for sure. Stud.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Loved it. I'm going to jump over to my second stud. That'd be Jose Fernandez this week. He had five hits. And it was a hit in five of the seven games this week. But another prospect showing us some life and kind of adding his name into the list of people that we kind of need to figure out what to do with him moving forward. Because, I mean, he's been playing a little bit of first base for us right now. He's been hitting the ball fairly well. Interesting to see. He's kind of the left-handed bat. And I talked about it last week, maybe platooning Pujols and a left-handed hitting first baseman for next season. Could he be that piece? Maybe.
Well, sure. I mean, he's 30 or 30 plus. And he's good, though.
Yeah.
And as you said, you know, a lefty stick, that's always nice to have. Definitely can see him as a utility guy, you know, a guy off the bench. He's good. I was about to put Fernandez in there, but I didn't. I like him a lot, though, and I wish we'd seen more of him over the last week.
I agree with that. Yeah, I think moving forward, he'll have a bigger piece. Like I said, especially because I don't think we really know what we're going to get out of Pujols next year, especially health-wise. So that's why I'm kind of expecting we got to have another corner guy there, and I would like for him to be left-handed hitting. Because if Pujols is going to play first base, I've thrown around the idea of a platoon at first base, and I don't think it's a bad idea with where Albert's at and with what like the market would essentially allow us for a left-handed hitting first baseman. So I don't know. That might be one of my options is Jose Fernandez.
Yeah, I agree. And I guess it depends on how the next manager, again, if there is another one, you know, it's going to have to factor in the left-right situation, because you got to remember that in 2019, the Angels are probably going to have Shohei Ohtani swinging from the left side as well.
Exactly.
And exactly. So that's all got to be factored in. But sure, I love Fernandez.
Yeah. Who's your second stud?
Well, you know, this is going to be surprising coming from me because I've made him a dud before, but this guy stayed off the wine for a little while. I'm going to go with Justin Upton, man. He had a good week. You know, he has hit four bombs in four straight games in a row, and they were all ripped. I mean, he's looking like Hank Aaron, and it's nice to see him. You know, hit the ball like that. That's what he's supposed to do. You know, the guy is streaky, but yeah, J-Up, that's exactly what you need, man. You need that solid guy who's producing, you know, as a power bat. Okay. You know, he's streaky. He's inconsistent, and he breaks his, you know, he breaks a glass of wine and cuts his finger, and he's but you know, I don't know. Sometimes he looks lost out there in left field, he was definitely a stud. Four bombs in 4 days, that's a stud.
Oh, 100%. I think Justin Upton, I think for what we kind of pay him to do, I think he's done that this season. Just being that kind of boom or bust guy, ultimately, behind Trout and behind Ohtani at times. And it's worked out. I think he's produced the way that I've wanted him to. And don't get me wrong, when he is slumping, and he's slumping hard, I hate it. But when he is hot, I mean, and the ball's looking like a beach ball to him. He's hitting balls out. He's hitting. Yeah, I mean, he hit a ball out to right the other day. I mean, it's great. It's great to see when he's going well, what he can do for this team and this lineup. I really like it. But let's transition over to our duds. My first dud, another outfielder on the other corner, Cole Calhoun. He went ice cold this week. He did it. 2 for 28. And hopefully the home run on Sunday will get him going a little bit. But I think the narrative surrounding Cole Calhoun has definitely kind of fallen out of late because he's not as hot as he was when, you know, we're coming right off of that All-Star break. But for, you know, him to work his average over 200 after that start of the season, it was ultimately incredible to see. And I'm excited for his 2019 moving forward for sure.
Yeah, he's under contract. Calhoun, he did go cold. And, you know, when the season's over, we're going to look at that batting average and the total number. He's hit, 17 home runs since he came back from the DL?
Yeah.
And one before. It was ridiculous. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to look like a really bad season. But if he can carry that forward into 2019, that's all looking good, I think.
Exactly, exactly. Who's your first dud?
Can I say everybody? I don't know. I mean, how about getting eliminated? That wasn't fun. You know, yeah. That's just always a big hollow feeling. That was Thursday. You just kind of go, I think I'm just going to go like drink for about 3 days. And, you know, yeah, I don't know. That's what I thought about doing. It's just sort of like the season started with so much hope. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You could name Socha, injuries. Hey, injuries. Those aren't good. You know, like Sunday's game, we got David Fletcher, who's just been a bright spot. He's going for a triple, pulls with a hamstring. And Otani, maybe he banged himself up trying to steal a base Sunday. Man, but okay, if you want me to actually name names, I'm going to pick on Taylor Ward again, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the future's kind of slowing down for Taylor Ward. He came in and he was kind of hot, and I was like, let's go, Taylor Ward's here, I'm excited, but I think it's kind of bottoming out right now. I would hope that it kind of turns around and things start looking a little bit better for him, but from what we've seen over this last month of the season from him, has really been bad.
Yeah, he's genuinely looked overmatched at the plate for sure.
Yeah.
And this is when a lot of teams are trotting out AAA pitchers, which, you know, he was raking at AAA. That's why they brought him up. And, you know, in his last 16 at bats, last 16 at bats, he's 0 for 16 with 6 strikeouts. He made an error that ended up cost during the week that ended up at third that ended up costing the Angels a run that, you know, no, didn't end up being a key play, but nobody expected him to be a gold glove at third, especially after moving over from catcher and, you know, and transitioning. But yeah, he's still a work in progress. And again, you look at a guy like him and you got to say, okay, you know, he got his cup of coffee in the majors at the end of this year, and we'll see what he does next year. Because these hyped prospects, you know, Mike Trout didn't exactly shine when he got his cup of coffee in 2011.
Yeah.
And then the next year, he was the rookie of the year and second place in the MVP. And, you know, so who knows what Taylor Ward will be? Maybe he'll be that guy.
Yeah.
So you can't really look at the September numbers and say that's what he is.
Yeah, I think this offseason is going to be a big one for him. Also kind of seeing what he does moving into spring training. But ultimately, I think the questions surrounding, oh, are we going to have to start Zach Cozart or Taylor Ward at third base to start the season? I think ultimately we figured out our answer on that one. But I'm going to go over to my second dud, and that was a guy who's been a real lights out starter for us lately, but he had a real bad week this week, and that's Jaime Barilla. 2 starts, and he allowed 7 earned runs over both of those starts. He didn't get past the 5th inning in either of those, so just a tough week for him. But I think we'll probably see him in the rotation next year, I would imagine.
I think absolutely. I think you're right, Lucas. Yeah, he didn't have a good week. If you're going to call him a dud for the week, I agree totally. But he has been an absolute stud for the season. I suppose when we come to doing our post-mortem talk, we could do studs and duds of the year or something like that. But Berea, you know, this guy's a rookie from Panama, you know, and he just showed no sign of fear. He went out and attacked all year. I think he made 23, 24 starts. So, yeah, I mean, maybe he got worn down towards the end of the year, and that's all it was this week. But, yeah, he's definitely got talent. He's got guts, and he's not going to cave in. He definitely should be part of the plans.
Yeah, I don't see any problem with him being like a 4 or 5 next year. Ultimately, I think we all know it's going to kind of depend on what we do in free agency, but I don't think there's any secret that we're going out and getting some starters. But I don't know. I'm kind of excited for his future. I think this year kind of reminded me a lot of like a Matt Shoemaker year out of him. So I think there's a lot of good stuff that he's got, and kind of like you said, like that bulldog mentality on the mound of like, go after guys. I'm not afraid to, you know, pitch around people. I'm going after them, challenging hitters. And it helped out for him. I think he's got 10 wins this season. We're talking about starters, and I'm saying, yeah, he's got a sub-4 ERA right now, and that's one of the leading ERAs on our pitching staff, which isn't great. But I don't know. I think he's got a bright future for sure.
Yeah, and if somebody would have told you before the season that Jaime Berea is going to get 10 wins, you would have said, okay.
I would have laughed.
You know, yeah, you would have, I want some of what you're smoking. That's what you would have said.
Exactly.
You know? So he, overall, great year. Last week, not so great. That's pitching.
Yeah, do you have a second dud, or are we just going with the team here?
I think we can go with the team. I don't know. I would never put this guy in the duds, but just for this week, because of what happened Sunday, because he wasn't there, I'm just going to say Mike Trout, just for the heck of it, because he wasn't in the lineup, okay? today is a day off. Monday is a day off. So he gets back-to-back days off, and while the team is just going down in flames on Sunday, they could use him in there. They pulled that game out, but, you know, Trout's probably kicking back in the clubhouse watching the Eagles. You know? I don't know. I'm going to kind of pick on him a little bit. I don't care. He's big. He could kill me, but I hope he's not listening.
I hope he is listening. But Mike Trout, I think, especially because he's missed a lot of time already this year, but I think at this point the season's kind of a lost cause.
Totally.
Trout's just walking up to guys, and he's walking up to Socha and just saying, hey, like you said, kind of want to kick back, watch the Eagles, kind of score watch, if you will, on this Sunday.
You get on the plane early, a lot of you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, do you have, I think you have another trivia question for me, right? I got to try to go 3 for 3 here before we close out.
Yeah, I do have one, and it's this one, I don't know if you're going to get this one, man. I don't know.
I didn't think I was going to get the last two, so.
You're 2 for 2, and this one, okay, you gotta bear with me here, because it's a bit tricky. So, okay, the Angels have two different players. Mm-hmm. And they have the same names in the organization. And one guy's last name is the other guy's first name.
I know the answer.
Vice versa. Oh, you got it?
I know
so
the answer.
So it's like Sardo Lucas or Matthew Stu. You know this answer?
The answer is Taylor Cole, and they also have a player named Cole Taylor.
Oh, man, how'd you know that?
I know. Well, our little Down on the Farm segments have definitely helped me out with that one.
Dang.
Yeah. Okay, I'm 3 for 3.
I can't come back no matter how hard I try.
No.
I can't. Oh, dang.
I'm masterful. I'm masterful. I wonder if any of the listeners are getting these.
I don't know. That's a weird thing, though. It's like, you can imagine, like, imagine if Cole Taylor's, now he's an infielder. He's down in High Eagle.
Yeah, he's in Inland Empire, I think. And I think I remember seeing it and thinking, how crazy would it be if there was, like, a situation where Taylor Cole becomes our closing pitcher, and he's, you know, pitching in the World Series, and you just hear the call where, like, Taylor Cole, get Taylor Cole gets the ground ball to Cole Taylor, and he throws the first for the out. Like, oh, that would just be so sick. I would love it.
Yeah, and Terry Smith is just stumbling over his words. And it's just like, yeah, I mean, and, you know, Cole Taylor, I mean, even though he's an infielder, he pitched one inning in Inland Empire. So can you imagine? You can just imagine, like, this manager calling down to the bullpen, you know, get Cole warming up. Who? Which one?
Which one?
Taylor. Okay. And the wrong guy warms up. That would be so Angels, wouldn't it?
Oh my gosh. Yes. That would be so Angels.
You know, next year's going to be better. And have we even mentioned Shohei Ohtani this? Have we even mentioned him?
No, we didn't. I think it was an off week for us talking about Shohei Ohtani, because we've talked a lot about Shohei recently, for sure.
Yeah, but we can't get enough of talking about him. So
love the guy.
We always will. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's about all I got. I mean,
yeah,
I can't believe you're bringing it up, man.
I know. Well,
I tell you what. If we keep going with this. You know, the Angels started 13-3 to start the season. And,
I'm just saying. Yeah, bleak days are ahead of me.
In the trivia department.
All right. Well, that was a great talk today, Stu. You have a column coming out on Monday, I believe, right?
Yeah, today I do. It's coming out, today, Monday. And let's see. That's going to be over at Halo's Heaven. And this one actually is about, Ohtani, actually. And it's a little bit of a comparison of his wonderful rookie season this year. And back in 1986, a guy named Wally Joyner. And these guys are both 24 years at the time. I was 32 years ago. So let's just say, I'm just going to say I was an infant when it happened. That's not true. When Wally was playing, but there was a similar amount of buzz in the air at the time. And check that out if you can. That's going to be up over at www.halosheaven.com.
Yeah.
On Monday. Yeah. 12 games left, man. So
we got the home stretch here. We got the home stretch here. But it is what it is. So, Stu, thanks for coming by again, man. We love talking with you.
Thanks a lot, Lucas. Thanks for having me again. It's been a pleasure. The games haven't. I think I got to take a nap. But anyway, buddy, talk to you later.
Yeah. Have a good one, Stu.
Peace out. Bye.
All right, time to get you ready for this Monday. If you will remember, on Friday, we had our trivia question, which was themed as Ducks Night. You know, Friday was Ducks Night at Angel Stadium. So the question was, in the history of both teams, there was a year where both the Angels and the Ducks made it to their respective conference or league finals. They both eventually lost in those rounds. What year was that? And for bonus points, who did they lose to? I mean, this is kind of a reach of a question, I will be honest. But 2005, the Angels lost in the ALCS. You probably will remember in that, you know, fun AJ Pierzynski White Sox loss of an ALCS. It's forgettable, I will say that. But then that next season that the Ducks played, 2005, so it ended in 2006, but their 2005-2006 season, the Ducks went on to lose to the Edmonton Oilers in that conference final. But, you know, if you're a Ducks fan, there was hope in the future, because the year after that, they won the Stanley Cup. But that was kind of a interesting trivia question. Anyway, that's it for today. Hope you enjoyed our interview. Enjoy your Monday. We'll see you on Wednesday. I'm Lucas Sardo. You can find me at LucasSardo13 on Twitter. I love hearing from you guys. But more importantly, be sure to follow our Twitter page at LockedOnAngels for all the updates regarding the show. And you can go to our website, also LockedOnAngels.com. If you have any other questions or comments or concerns, shoot us an email, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. That's all I got for you guys today. Go Halos! Adios.